Welcome back to the LifePoint DriveCast. My name is Dean. I'm the lead pastor at LifePoint. I do the majority of teaching at our Lewis Center campus. I hope you had a great weekend at Lewis Center this past weekend. We looked at the passage in Matthew chapter 16 where Jesus establishes the church. We're in this series talking about how we learn to follow Jesus one step at a time, looking at the life of Jesus through the lens of Simon Peter. And when Jesus establishes the church, you know, the passage really is it's a real dividing line between Protestantism and Catholicism. And sometimes people get wrapped up in that particular part of the discussion, when in reality, Jesus, I think, engages the discussion by asking a cultural question first. Who do people say that I am? And he wants to know, what's the read on culture? What are the disciples listening to and hearing? Which kind of begs the question of us. Like, what do we see the culture saying about Jesus? Because whether we realize it or not, that probably has some shaping influence on our thoughts. But then Jesus presses the disciples and he says, who do you say that I am? When we realize that even though Jesus begins with a public question, he really pushes and presses towards a personal question. Who do you say? So you and I have to determine, who is Jesus in my life? How much authority am I going to give him? Some people would say, well, he's my way to eternal life, or he's my way to a better moral life, or maybe to a successful life. But Simon Peter's confession is that Jesus is the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Son of God, the one that they had always waited for, the one that they were looking for. And then Jesus changes Simon Peter's name. He says, yeah, and you, from now on, I'm going to call you Petros, or it's a Greek word for a small rock. And then he makes that famous statement, and upon this rock, large rock, Petra, different, a little bit different word, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And we talked about how Jesus had taken the disciples to Caesarea Philippi, which was probably the most banal, even wicked place in all of the region of Palestine. It wasn't in Israel proper. But Jesus took them there where the Greek god Pan was worshipped, and the worship of Pan really, he was the god of fertility and the god of the movement of evil spirits. And there was a cave there in Caesarea Philippi where a river flowed, and they were taught, people in that region, that was the river Styx. And so they believed that when bad things happened in their lives, it was because Pan wasn't playing his flute and keeping the evil spirits at bay. And so when Jesus said, upon this rock, I'll build my church, you know, there were so many hurting people there who were giving Pan their money, their attention, their time, required to do just awful things in the worship of the deity, that Jesus says, upon this rock, I will build my assembly, my church. And I think what he was saying there is for broken, hurting people like these people that they saw. And he says the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And when, you know, you believe that that river that flows out of that rock is the river Styx, that's literally the gateway to hell. And so I think the implications for us then are primarily that hell loses. And I think sometimes we forget that. I think we struggle with this sense at times that evil is never going to have an ending. But you think about what Jesus says there. He says, listen, not even the gates of hell are going to stop the church. You know, gates are defensive in nature. They're used to protect something. And Jesus says that his church is going to, for lack of maybe a better way to describe it, is going to invade hell and bring people out. And I think, you know, especially particularly in our country, we have the tendency to say, well, you know, COVID is going to kill the church. Or I'm sure when people had the Black Plague, they thought the same thing. And I think what we're starting to see now is not only is the church going to survive, but it's going to thrive. Think about the church in Africa right now, you know, the turn of the 20th century, about 8 million Christians. Into the 20th century, 400 million Christians. By 2025, they're saying maybe 600 million Christians. Africa may become the worldwide breadbasket of Christianity, you know, in the next couple of decades. And so, I think it's important for us to be reminded that hell loses and heaven wins, that we have a part, the opportunity to be part of the unstoppable movement of the church. So, you know, every time you serve, hell loses a little bit. Every time you have a God conversation with someone, hell loses a little bit. Every time you invite someone closer to Christ, every time you connect in a life group and you're transparent and you confess your sins one to another and you choose to disciple your child and you're choosing to be kind to your spouse, every time you do those things, heaven wins, hell loses. What determines that is, who is Jesus to you? Is he the one you've been waiting for? Or is he just a good moral teacher? Is he just someone that you feel like you can look to in a time of crisis? Is he just someone who's going to give you eternal life when you die? Jesus says, upon this rock, I have built my church. I hope that you're part of it, and I hope you're part of it today. I'm going to pray for us, and then I'll give you the opportunity to pray. Father, as we begin a new week, we are so grateful to be part of the church with all of its misperceptions and, Lord, all of its imperfections. Lord, not perfect. Sometimes, Lord, in the name of terrible things that have been done in the name of the church. But when we come back to you, the founder of it and the reason that you founded it, God, we find the purpose of the church. And so, God, I pray today that we are joining our hearts to your unstoppable movement. God, that we would be the eyes and ears of the church today and seek to shine light into darkness. Now you take the opportunity to pray.